وعلا. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل، نعم المولى ونعم النصير. أستغفر الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم الرحمن الرحيم ذو الجلال والإكرام وأتوب إليه. اللهم كل وليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم إني أفتتح الثناء بحمدك وأنت مسدد للصواب بمنك، وأيقنت أنك أنت أرحم الراحمين في موضع العفو والرحمة وأشد المعاقبين في موضع النكال والنقمة وأعظم المتجبرين في موضع الكبرياء والعظمة. اللهم أذنت لي في دعائك ومسألتك فاسمع يا سميع مدحتي وأجب يا رحيم دعوتي وأقل يا غفور عثرتي. فكم يا إلهي من كربة قد فرجتها وهموم قد كشفتها وعثرة قد أقلتها ورحمة قد نشرتها وحلقة بلاء قد فككتها. الحمد لله الذي لم يتخذ صاحبة ولا ولدا ولم يكن له شريك في الملك ولم يكن له ولي من الذل. وكبره تكبيرا. الحمد لله بجميع محامده كلها على جميع نعمه كلها. الحمد لله الذي لا مضاد له في ملكه ولا منازع له في أمره. الحمد لله الذي لا شريك له في خلقه ولا شبيه له في عظمته. الحمد لله الفاشي في الخلق أمره وحمده، الظاهر بالكرم مجده، الباسط بالجود يداه، الذي لا تنقص خزائنه ولا تزيده كثرة العطاء إلا جودا وكرما، إنه هو العزيز الوهاب. اللهم إني أسألك قليلا من كثير مع حاجة بي إليه عظيمة وغناك عنه قديم وهو عندي كثير وهو عليك سهل يسير. اللهم إن عفوك عن ذنبي وتجاوزك عن خطيئتي وصفحك عن ظلمه وسترك على قبيح عملي وحلمك عن كثير جرمي عندما كان من خطئي وعمدي أطمعني في أن أسألك ما لا أستوجبه منك الذي رزقتني من رحمتك وأريتني من قدرتك وعرفتني من إجابتك، فصرت أدعوك آمنا وأسألك مستأنسا لا خائفا ولا وجلا مدلا عليك فيما قصدت فيه إليك، فإن أبطأ عني عتبت بجهلي عليك، ولعل الذي أبطأ عني هو خير لي لعلمك بعاقبة الأمور. فلم أرى مولا كريما أصبر على عبد لئيم منك علي. يا ربي إنك تدعوني فأولي عنك وتتحبب إلي فأتبغض إليك وتتودد إلي فلا أقبل منك كأن لي التطول عليك. فلم يمنعك ذلك من الرحمة لي والإحسان إلي والتفضل علي بجودك وكرمك. فارحم عبدك الجاهل وجد عليه بفضل إحسانك، إنك جواد كريم. الحمد لله مالك الملك مجري الفلك مسخر الرياح فالق الإصباح ديان الدين رب العالمين. الحمد لله على حلمه بعد علمه، والحمد لله على عفوه بعد قدرته، والحمد لله على طول أناته في غضبه وهو قادر على ما يريد. الحمد لله خالق الخلق باسط الرزق فالق الإصباح ذي الجلال والإكرام والفضل والإنعام، الذي بعد فلا يرى وقرب فشهد النجوى، تبارك وتعالى. الحمد لله الذي ليس له منازع يعادله ولا شبيه يشاكله ولا ظهير يعاضده، قهر بعزته الأعزاء وتواضع لعظمته العظماء، فبلغ بقدرته ما يشاء. الحمد لله الذي يجيبني حين أناديه ويستر علي كل عورة وأنا أعصي، ويعظم النعمة علي فلا أجازي. فكم من موهبة هنيئة قد أعطاني، وعظيمة مخوفة قد كفاني، وبهجة مونقة قد أراني. فأثني عليه حامدا وأذكره مسبحا. الحمد لله الذي لا يهتك حجابه ولا يغلق بابه ولا يرد سائله ولا يخيب آمله. الحمد لله الذي يؤمن الخائفين وينجي الصالحين ويرفع المستضعفين ويضع المستكبرين ويهلك ملوكا ويستخلف آخرين. والحمد لله قاسم الجبارين مبير الظالمين مدرك الهاربين نكال الظالمين صريخ المستصرخين موضع حاجات الطالبين معتمد المؤمنين. الحمد لله الذي من خشيته ترعد السماء وسكانها وترجف الأرض وعمارها وتموج البحار ومن يسبح في غمراتها. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. الحمد لله الذي يخلق ولم يخلق ويرزق ولا يرزق ويطعم ولا يطعم ويميت الأحياء ويحيي الموتى وهو حي لا يموت بيده الخير وهو على كل شيء قدير. اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك وأمينك وصفيك وحبيبك وخيرتك من خلقك وحافظ سرك ومبلغ رسالاتك أفضل وأحسن وأجمل وأكمل وأزكى وأنمى وأطيب وأطهر وأسنى وأكثر ما صليت وباركت وترحمت وتحننت وسلمت على أحد من عبادك وأنبيائك ورسلك وصفوتك وأهل الكرامة عليك من خلقك. اللهم صل على علي أمير المؤمنين وصي رسول رب العالمين عبدك ووليك وأخي رسولك وحجتك على خلقك وآيتك الكبرى والنبأ العظيم. وصل على الصديقة الطاهرة فاطمة الزهراء سيدة نساء العالمين. وصل على سبطي الرحمة وإمامي الهدى الحسن والحسين سيدي شباب أهل الجنة. وصل على أئمة المسلمين علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي والخلف الهادي المهدي حججك على عبادك ومناك في بلادك صلاة كثيرة دائمة. اللهم وصل على ولي أمرك القائم المؤمل والعدل المنتظر وحفه بملائكتك المقربين وأيده بروح القدس يا رب العالمين. اللهم اجعله الداعي إلى كتابك القائم بدينك. استخلفه في الأرض كما استخلفت الذين من قبله. مكن له دينه الذي ارتضيته له. أبدله من بعد خوفه أمنا يعبدك لا يشرك بك شيئا. الحمد لله. اللهم أعزه وأعزز به انصره وانتصر به، انصره نصرا عزيزا، افتح له فتحا يسيرا، واجعل له من لدنك سلطانا نصيرا. اللهم اظهر به دينك وسنة نبيك حتى لا يستخفي بشيء من الحق مخافة أحد من الخلق. اللهم إنا نرغب إليك في دولة كريمة تعز بها الإسلام وأهلاه، وتذل بها النفاق وأهلاه، وتجعلنا فيها من الدعاة إلى طاعتك والقادة إلى سبيلك، وترزقنا بها كرامة الدنيا والآخرة. اللهم ما عرفتنا من الحق فحملنا، وما قصرنا عنه فبلغنا. اللهم المم به شعثنا، واشعب به صدعنا، وارتق به فتقنا، وكثر به قلتنا، وأعزز به ذلتنا، وأغن به عائلنا، واقض به عن مغرمنا، واجبر به فقرنا، وسد به خلتنا، ويسر به عسرنا، وبيض به وجوهنا، وفك به أسرنا، وأنجح به طلبتنا، وأنجز به مواعيدنا، واستجب به دعوتنا، وأعطنا به سؤلنا، وبلغنا به من الدنيا والآخرة آمالنا، وأعطنا به فوق رغبتنا يا خير المسؤولين وأوسع المعطين. اشف به صدورنا، وأذهب به غيظ قلوبنا، واهدنا به لما اختلف فيه من الحق بإذنك، إنك تهدي من تشاء إلى صراط مستقيم. وانصرنا به على عدوك وعدونا، إله الحق، آمين. اللهم إنا نشكو إليك فقد نبينا صلواتك عليه وآله، وغيبة ولينا، وكثرة عدونا، وقلة عددنا، وشدة الفتن بنا، وتظاهر الزمان علينا. فصل على محمد وآل محمد، وأعنا على ذلك بفتح منك تعجله، وبضر تكشفه، ونصر تعزه، وسلطان حق تظهره، ورحمة منك تجللنا، وعافية منك تلبسنا، برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. صلوات. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، باعث الأنبياء والمرسلين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد الخلق أجمعين، حبيبنا حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين، روحي وأرواح العالمين له الفداء، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. For the hastening and the return of our Imam, let's recite the salawat. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه. Inshallah, Allah accept the a'mal and all the worships, all the fasts, all the dua, all the dhikr, all the Quran recitations, all the qiyam, those who've been standing in prayer during the night. Inshallah, Allah accept all of that and forgive us all for all the shortcomings, particularly myself, I have most shortcomings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran tells us that there's a concept of ilm and there's a concept of dhan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala condemns in the Quran those who say things without knowing. Then there's another idea, those who say things assertively, they seem very confident in what they're saying. He says, إِنْهُمْ إِلَّا يَظُنُّونَ or إِنْهُمْ إِلَّا يَتَّبِعُونَ الظَّنَّ وَإِنْهُمْ إِلَّا يَخْرُصُونَ. They're following dhan, assumptions. The best word I can think of in English is the concept of assumption. What is the difference between the two? Sometimes a person, some of those who came to the Prophet, looking at the bones that had decomposed almost, those tough bones of a camel, you've seen the size of a camel. Initially, the bones of the camel, if you take them out of that animal, once a camel has been slaughtered, those bones are so hard, you could beat someone to death with that. That's how hard it is. But it starts decomposing after a while. That very tough bone, they would take it to the Prophet, hold it up, and break it, crumble it, it would turn into powder. And they would say, "Ya Muhammad, you're saying this is going to be resurrected?" They seem pretty sure about what they're saying. It's like, it doesn't make any sense whatsoever what you're saying, referring to the Prophet. So in terms of their internal state of certainty, in terms of how sure they feel about what they're saying, they're absolutely sure that what the Prophet is saying in that particular area is ridiculous. They ridiculed it. I didn't give examples of other aspects of faith. For example, the oneness of God. The Quran says they knew that they were wrong. That element, and that's how we can confidently say, no atheist is actually sure about there being no God. No polytheist is sure about believing in anything but the one God. The signs are too many. That's a different example. Belief in resurrection. I gave this example where it takes a bit more to be able to come to that conclusion that this is definitely true. Every material being, not only humans and jinn, according to the Quran, وَإِذَا الْوُحُوشُ حُشِرَتْ, the wuhush, the wild animals, they're all going to be resurrected. None of the life that you see on earth is going to disappear and not come back to life. Everything is going to come back to life. To get to that understanding, it takes more premises, it takes more understanding, you got to take more steps to come to that clarity that that's definitely true. It's there. if you use the God-given intellect, you will come to that. That's why the Quran says, "Ulul albab," the ones who have, they possess intellect. They look at the heavens and the earth. They process it, realizing this is created by God. This whole thing, this is not a game. رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا سُبْحَانَكَ. No, definitely that's not the case. You're exalted from the fault of doing something abath and batil, something that is just going to go to waste. Something that will end and cease to exist, and that's it. فَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Therefore, there is resurrection, there is heaven and hell, and so God protect us from hellfire. If we use that, we'll get to it, but it's a little more difficult. It is possible for someone who doesn't possess that type of intellect not to be able to process that. So they would come to the Prophet with full certainty that what he's saying is baloney. It's ridiculous. They hadn't used their intellects. Without using the intellect, I'm like, well, look at how this is. This is really going to come. That's not a reason. But they were certain. The Quran calls this dhan. This is an assumption. Just because you haven't seen it, that's not a rational, reasonable argument to present and say this is not going to happen. So if a person has certainty without legitimate reasons that they can find themselves, they can identify that, and that's called dhan. إِن يَتَّبِعُونَ إِلَّا الظَّنَّ وَإِنْهُمْ إِلَّا يَخْرُصُونَ. اتِّبَاعُ الظَّنِّ, following these assumptions, has been condemned in the Quran. On the other hand, ilm is something that the Quran says God gives, and when ilm is given, you're supposed to follow it. If you follow their desires, the Quran says, بَعْدَمَا جَاءَكَ مِنَ الْحَقِّ, the knowledge of the truth that's been given to you, that ilm, that knowledge, after you have received it, you know this is from God, this is right, you know where it came from, it's from the angel, from Allah, the source of it is crystal clear, it's from God, God is the Almighty, the All-Knowing, وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ قِيلًا, the All-Truthful. He has said it. That's reason. You have that knowledge. If you have that knowledge, then you go against it, that's very much condemned. Acting according to knowledge. So what's knowledge? Knowledge is clarity based on clarity. In other words, you build a structure of clarity, reason after reason. The reason why you accept a fact as a fact are reasons, or the reasons you accepted are reasons that themselves are clear. There's no assumption in the process. No leap in the process. It's crystal clear. Not the internal state. Sometimes we can push ourselves to accept something and see it as the truth. That's what was condemned. إِن يَتَّبِعُونَ إِلَّا الظَّنَّ. They come very fiercely and argue against you. They're pretty certain about what they're saying, but it's a dhan. It's not about how sure you are about how true it is. It's about, is that certainty based and founded in reason or not? If it's based on reason, on clear proof, bayyinat, the Quran talks mentions, hudan linnas wa bayyinatin min al-huda, clarities. It's got to be based on clarity. You build a whole structure of your ideology, your belief system, the way you view the world. When you make decisions, it should all be very solid. Everything based on reason. And always searching to see where I made a mistake. Always identify that mistake. What I said was not based on reason. Correct it. What I thought is not based on reason. Correct it. This is what the Quran says to do. We are obligated to do that, brothers and sisters. One of the other things that the Quran tells us is that part of how you can identify truth, find reason, is to go to those who have more knowledge of something. For instance, the Quran says, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ وَالزُّبُرِ. God mentioned things and said, this is not the first time I'm revealing this to mankind. This is found in previous revelations. And he says, if you guys don't know the previous revelations, go ask the people of those revelations. Go ask the people of those, the ones, Ahlul Dhikr, of course, the ones that are knowledgeable of it. Those who know the Torah, go and ask them. Those who know the Injil, go and ask them. Instead of sitting back and saying, no, Muhammad is just lying. Al-Ayyadu Billah. There's no such thing. Well, did you go and check? He says, I'm the prophet of God. These are my signs. I was mentioned in previous revelations. ABC, whatever those verses that are addressing the people to go and check with Ahlul Dhikr, in kuntum la ta'lamuna bil bayyinati wa zubur. You can't assume. He claims something, check it with something. If you want to accept, you need reason. He's providing reasons. You're not willing to listen to that reason. And part of that reason is go and check. You know there's Jews, they believe in revelation from God, prophets, there's Christians. Go and say they don't even like Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. Go see if this exists in their books. And they would go, those who went would find it. In order for us, brothers and sisters, to not fall in the trap of shaitan. Shaitan would love us to follow assumptions, because when we assume this is the path, that's great. Because we think we're going the right direction. We're not willing to check. We'll just keep going. And he keeps taking us, like, yeah, yeah, this is the right direction. Keep going, keep going, keep going. And you're in the middle of the desert. On the day of judgment, you're in the desert, God forbid. I mean, that's what it's going to be. You'll see that you are in the desert instead of being in the Jannat. Jannatu Adn, tajri min tahtiha al-anhar. You're in the hell and pits of hell and the deserts of hell. You assumed I didn't want to check, assumed. A very extremely important part of that, I should say the most important part of that, brothers and sisters, is to accept fault and accept that I may make a mistake. Accept that I do make mistakes. Whoever brings it up to me that what I have said or done is wrong, first, thoroughly process it. Is that right? Am I wrong? Don't rule it out. No matter how they tell you. No matter how difficult it is to hear this person, that's sometimes like one of the difficulty. Younger person comes and tells you, you did this wrong. Sometimes in a very rude way, someone comes and tells you, it doesn't matter how it's said. When it has been said, properly think about it. Leave all of what's going on in the nafs that I think, oh, it's this God that, how dare you say, I know everything. That's the way we feel. So anybody saying we're wrong, just hate it. And that causes us not to process. Look at Ayatollah Khamenei, may Allah protect him. I haven't seen, except for Imam Khomeini, I've heard some other ulama, but not on the level that Ayatollah Khamenei did. Or Imam Khomeini. Go back to Imam Khomeini's speeches. He says, I made a mistake here in public. He said, I apologize to the mothers and fathers of Shuhada, the families of Shuhada, those who sacrificed for this path. I made a mistake here. I thought if I do it this way, if we do it this way, it's best. But now I realize it was wrong. I was wrong. Although at the time when Imam Khomeini made those decisions, those were the correct decisions. That apology, Imam Khomeini apologizing, is actually not technically a real mistake. He sees it as a mistake of his, and he has no trouble on that platform. We're not willing to acknowledge a mistake in the family. I can't tell my wife, you're right and I was wrong. I can't tell my children on a very basic family decision, or even regarding a game that we're playing. I said, you need to do it this way. Then they find out that I was wrong. They don't have the guts to tell me, because they know if they tell me that, they're going to get it backhanded. We're not willing to do that. Imam Khomeini made decisions bravely, and then when he saw it was necessary for him to come out and apologize sincerely, he came out on an international platform. His talks were taken internationally. Enemies, friends, everybody heard. Not in some session with a few people here. No. Public platform. I need to apologize. Ayatollah Khamenei very recently, in this last speech that he gave, this isn't the only time, of course, it's one of the times, he said in his speech at the beginning of the year, he had mentioned a fact. He said that the country is, with all the difficulties and all the sanctions and everything, is ranked 18 in world economies. And that's a great accomplishment. That was on March 22nd or so, the day of Nowruz or the day after. And this recent speech was just last week, less than a month apart. And he said, before he started anything, before he said anything and address any point on the topic that he had, he said, I've been wanting to say something. I haven't gotten a chance. This is the first speech that I'm giving. After that speech, I said that we are ranked 18. I was and he mentioned this. He didn't just say that. He said people heard this. Some people realized it's a mistake. They contacted me, and I got the message, and I told my office to follow up, and I checked, and they were right. Iran was ranked 18 6 years ago. But today, it's not ranked 18. It's lower than 18. He said, I wanted to correct that. I apologize, and I thank all those who mentioned that. How in the world can a leader do that? It's only when the nafs has been really made submissive to Allah. I said something. If what I said on a public international platform was wrong, I'm going to go to that same, not tell my people in my office, on the same platform, televised speech, and correct that mistake. No, this is what it was. I made a mistake here. We've got to do that to our nafs, brothers and sisters. We have to do that to our nafs. We have to be willing to crush our nafs and accept that others were right, I was wrong. I made a mistake. As long as, based on the way I see, I have deficiencies, as long as what I look, when I look, to the best of my knowledge, this is correct. Well, I'm supposed to say it and be confident about it. That's as far as my knowledge goes. But as soon as God shows me through this person, through my child, through community member, through this other child, through someone else, through an enemy even, that what I said was wrong and there's reasons for it. I check, he said, and that's the, this is the point here. See, we need to be willing to find our mistakes, but the way we do it, the way it is done, is to check with bayinat. Check with clear. And once we get our nafs under control, we can see, we can look back and say, did I really have a reason? Let me check, what were my reasons for believing what I said was right? Let me look at them again. And I look, I realize, oh, that was an assumption. This one is an area I don't have expertise on. Oh, I trusted somebody's expertise on this matter. Okay, is that expert legitimate? Now whose word is being said? Is it a better expert? Is it the same expert that is... So the willingness to accept mistake, accept fault, the willingness to announce it was a mistake, I'm going to correct it. If we're not willing to do that, if we're not willing to announce that I made a mistake, that's going to haunt us, even at times when we see the mistake. Because we don't want others to think that we made a mistake, we try to hide it. In the process, we end up convincing ourselves, oh, actually, it wasn't a real terrible mistake. It wasn't, oh, everybody makes these mistakes, and so on and so forth. Gradually, just brushing it under the carpet, I stop thinking of it. I keep needing to answer to people. People will keep asking me. I'll keep repeating that, justifying it, repeating the wrong thing that... And here we go, this is where we're going to enter. And the flip side of that is, not the flip side, and what I mean by that is the following. Sometimes we have clarity. The reasons are legitimate reasons. What happens is people come to us and they try to push us one way or another to make us feel that what we're saying is wrong. Again, we should look and see, is it really, what were my reasons? And what are the reasons that are being presented? Have that moment with yourself, process it. Don't allow, the flip side is this, don't allow the desire, the want to be accepted by others, the desire and the want to not be seen as an outcast, the desire and the want to not be seen as a maverick and all that, the desire and the want not to be accused of being a know-it-all. All these, we don't like to be called names. Sometimes we know what we said is wrong, is right, excuse me, the opposite. What we said is right. We heard the arguments against it. I'm looking at the reasons. God knows this is right, what they're saying is wrong. But I don't want to be seen by all of them as being someone that's going against Islam. I know this is what Islam says. And I have every reason. And I know they don't have reasons. They're not experts, for instance. And they're misunderstanding the words of other ulama. Or I disagree with other ulama. The ulama have presented reasons. We have reasons why this is right and not the other. I see it clearly. But then I don't want to be labeled as this type of sheikh or that type of sheikh or this type of person or that type of person. Because of that, I say, okay, whatever you guys say, I'll even write a statement. I say I made a mistake, whatever. No, that again is not right. God says, that's what we're saying, say things based on ilm, based on knowledge, based on clear evidence and reasons. If you don't have it, don't say anything. Don't say anything. Only speak with certainty, with reason. If you realize part of your reasons were wrong, correct that. Tell people. Correct it first and foremost for yourself, then for people. But if you don't know, don't take a stance. If you said something you thought you knew, somebody mentioned, you realize, I don't know. Realize it. Inshallah, Allah helps us. Sometimes that gets very difficult, brothers and sisters. In the context of Karbala, it's one of those instances that got very difficult. In the context of the battles of Amir al-Mu'mineen, at times, that got very difficult. For Ali, it's difficult to say the truth. He's being labeled as someone who's thirsty for blood, a warmonger. Say, oh, three khalifas, no inner wars, no inner infighting. And your khilafah, first you massacred people in Basra, now you want to go and kill. You're not giving up on Muawiyah, but let him be. All these various labels. Amir al-Mu'mineen is not someone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, when you have clarity, see we said, there's dhan, assumptions, then there's ilm. If you have knowledge, if you have reason, be steadfast and firm. Be willing to check. As soon as you realize it didn't have reason, correct it. When you have that knowledge, you have to grab hold of it. Hang on to it. Move forward with it. And when you move forward with it, no matter who goes against you in words, as the Quran says, they don't allow the blame that people put on them, the labeling that people, in the way of Allah, I know God wants this. It's crystal clear. They say God doesn't, you're wrong, you're this, you're that. Look at my reason. No, God has said this. I'm going to proceed. No matter what they say. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us all of that. For us to reject assumptions. For us to follow knowledge and clarity. For us to look and find flaws in our arguments and reasons. And correct our knowledge. Always refine what we believe in. Refine what we feel. Refine how we behave. Constantly refine that. Constantly look for flaws. And constantly, the clarity I have at whatever point, ask Allah to help me. As long as I'm clear, He wants something that I don't give in to the words of others. And we ask Him that we're deficient. We need His guidance. We know that, Ya Allah, You guide. مَنْ يُؤْمِن بِاللَّهِ يَهْدِ قَلْبَهِ You know there's nothing but the desire to do what You want. And that You have given the tawfiq to do jihad in Your way with Your teachings. And You have promised, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا We pray that Allah makes us of those that have been described in those verses, inshallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to hasten the return of our imam. We ask Allah to help us become His true and close companions. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help all those who are helping His cause, especially our ulama, our maraja, and more so our leader. We ask Allah to forgive us all of our sins. We ask Him to forgive our parents, our grandparents, our relatives, all believers, those who are alive, those who have left this world. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant all believers their hajat, their needs, their requests. We ask Allah to relieve all the people of the world of the pandemic, and we ask Him to relieve all the people of the world of the oppressions they're facing. Bin Nabi wa Alih, Rahimallah, man qara al-Fatihata ma'as-salawat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.